Father in heaven, we thank you again for the day, Lord, and for this precious book that tells us about the one who came and died for us, and for songs that had great meaning to know biblical truth. And now we pray as we open this book again today that you bless us together, speak to our hearts, and help us learn something in this life to draw closer to thee. And let you not be a figure of imagination, but the reality of a person who came and loved us so much. He went to Calvary and died 2,000 years ago. And now we have the privilege to become children of God in the age of grace now, as much so as then. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated and take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Mark chapter 1. And I want to read a few verses. Mark chapter 1. I want to read verse 40 to 45, get into the message of the day. I'm glad that I believe the record that God gave of His Son. I'm glad that I believe that when you receive Christ as Savior, you become a child of God. It is not a figure of imagination. Did you know today, ladies and gentlemen, most people look at, if you talk about being saved in the family of God, and you begin to pressure a little bit about why they believe, it seems like it's a figure of imagination. Just in case it's so, I trust it, but I don't really know for sure. I've got news for you today. You better get off of that wagon, because you can know for sure. Amen. The historical records tells that Jesus came and died. We have record that people saw him when he rose from the dead. 500 saw him at one time, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that most of those are alive at the day he wrote that record. We have more facts about him being alive from a historical standpoint than some things we do about history itself. And yet some people still try to deny that he came, or if he came, he died, but he didn't rise from the dead. I've got news for you today. God keeps a record. God has sent the message, and he's alive today as if... He's alive today as much so as he's ever been alive throughout eternity. Amen. And he's back home at the Father. And what we're doing today, this is not a myth of the imagination. This is not something to come just to sound religious. This is not to come here this morning and say we've been to church today. I hope you came saying, Lord, please help me be in the midst of your presence. Not only the fact to know you're omnipresent, but may I feel your presence today as we look into the Word of God. And look with me, if you will, in Mark. This is an amazing portion of scripture here as we began to read down about verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and said to him, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. Now watch this verse. This leper came, beseeching him. That is, he came with a begging heart in the sense for God to do something to him. That is God the Son, as what he'd heard and seen about Christ. Notice another thing. He kneeled down this time before him, and then notice this, he didn't come demanding, he didn't come, really putting authority, he just simply said to the Lord, he said, notice in verse 40, if thy will, thou canst make me clean. What faith. Lord, I know I've heard of you, I believe in you, and I know this, that you are who you say you are, and if thou will, you can heal me. If thou will, he says, thou can make me clean. That's a heart that comes to God and knowing that he's able, and you want to trust him, and God sees his heart. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart, when God sees a heart that not only acknowledges who he is, but trusts and willing to trust him for what he has promised, he'll move mountains for us. Amen. If not, we'll stand right there facing a wall that will never protrude through because we don't disobey. I think the greatest thing that pleases God's heart today is the fact that God's people obey and please him. You know that's what Jesus did? God said about his own son, you heard me say many times, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Then notice he said, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and watched these words and touched him. Isn't that amazing? Because in that day, you didn't touch a leper, and they didn't touch you. And yet Jesus comes, and here's a man full of leprosy. In fact, the Bible says he had much leprosy. He was almost to the point of death, probably. And here, Jesus, notice he had compassion on him, put forth his hand and touched him. And notice he said, I will, be thou clean. What powerful words. He didn't slap him on the head and knock him down 3 or 4 times, say, get up and let's see what he's doing. He said, I will, be thou clean. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what you think, that's power. Amen. And notice the next verse. And immediately, something happened to this fellow. Watch what he says. And as soon as he had spoken, that Jesus had spoken, immediately the leper departed from him. And watch, and he was clean. That's powerful, folks. This is not playing the sound like you see today where some people, they claim that somebody raised from the dead or whatever it is, and nowadays you can't really verify it because we have ways of verifying. Sometimes people try to do that. What I'm saying to you, we're talking about a Savior who can and will do what he says he'll do when those conditions are met. And he says, straightway charge them and force which sent him away. And now this is something which is hard to understand, but if you understand the circumstances, you'll see why Jesus told him this. He said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for the cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. In the verse, he said, don't you tell anybody about this. Go and to the priest and present yourself so the orders that Moses said could take place. Why did he say that? Because Christ hadn't risen from the dead yet. Christ is still bringing the Old Testament and New Testament together. If you go back to the book of Leviticus, you'll find out there's a procedure that a person had to go through if they had leprosy, to determine if they had leprosy, and if they had leprosy, what would be done to show when the leprosy was clean, if they ever were clean by it. And so Jesus said, be thou clean. Immediately he was clean. He said, now you go to the priest and show him, so he can go through the ceremonies and verify the fact that you are cleansed of the leprosy. Now watch. But he went out and began to publish it. Isn't that amazing? Let me ask you something. Don't it amaze you the fact that here he comes, believe in Christ, and Christ heals him, and he said, don't tell anyone right now. And the first thing he does is go tell it. Isn't that amazing? You'd think the Lord would be upset because he disobeyed him. He obeyed him so much in faith in one, and then all of a sudden he didn't obey him in the other. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would think if you'd been this guy with leprosy almost foot in the grave and ready to bury you as you are because the leprosy eats you up and suddenly you don't have it, I don't think I'd hold my mouth either. He'd been everywhere he could go. I mean, he had a stink on him, nobody could get around him at all because leprosy brought stink to the body. It was dying. And all of a sudden, he's healed, had no leprosy. And so what he does, he said he went out to publish it and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch. Now, here's the reason why Jesus told him not to do that. His time had not come as of yet, and he knew when this happened, leprosy was one of the greatest miracles you could find. It's a type of showing what sin is and what Christ can do for us at Calvary. And so he said, if you tell this, and Christ knew this, then I'll have to stop my ministry here and move other. And that's what happened. So I read in the lines, I believe the Lord told him not to do that right now. Go do what you, to the priest and do what you have to do there to verify the leprosy is gone. But don't tell anyone here right now. Why? Because he said, but he went out and began to publish it much and to much brawl the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. He had to leave the city and go out to the desert for people to come to him because of what this great miracle had done. Now, if you look with me, this is one leper here. Look with me, if you will, in Luke 17, real quick, like, and in verse 12, he comes to another place, and now we have 10 men who has leprosy. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. Notice now the difference in these 10, but yet Jesus told them what to do. One, he said, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. And he did. But here he says, they lifted up their voices. These 10 lepers said, Master, teacher, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. Isn't that different? Now, when did he tell this other guy? He said, after he had healed him. But he said to these 10 men, go show yourself to the priest. In other words, the priest would verify that they had leprosy if they went. And notice, they turned to go, and when they turned to go, they were healed. This is amazing. And he said, and Moses, his hammers have on this, and when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. The fact they obeyed what he said do, cleansed them. He didn't say that I'll clean you, behold, you're healed, this and that. He said, you go show the priest. And at that moment, when they turned to go and started, they were cleansed. But then all of a sudden, nine of them kept going. But one of them turned back. Watch, and one of them, in verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. With a loud voice glorify God. Ladies and gentlemen, don't tell me when God does something to your heart, you can't contain it. It's beyond, it's something that's so miraculous to think that God will love us so much in the situation we're in this earth, that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. And when you see the reality, there's something about it. And he said, one of them turned back, and he said, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a full-blooded Jew. He was a Samaritan. And he said, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10? But where are the 9? Now I want you to turn away to Romans chapter real fast, in Romans chapter 12, and then we'll get into the message. From these situations we're talking about right here. In Romans chapter 12, you remember what Paul said in verse 1 and verse 2 in chapter 12? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies. Notice this again. I quote it as I get to it. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice he said, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. And you heard me say many times, don't be fashioned to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is to change the nature of, to change the function of. You're changing one thing to another. And he said, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to take a few minutes this morning and talk to you about the transformation of a life. What takes place in a transformation of life? It's just not a new leaf turning over to join something. It is a literal transformation, making us from one thing into another as we trust Christ as our personal Savior. Transformation is to be transformed. Transform is to change the form or outward function of something. Something takes place inside, which changes to the outside. To change the condition of something so that those outside can see what happened inside as much as what you know happened on the inside, unless those on the outside see what's happened on the inside, but what they see on the outside, they don't know you got anything on the inside. I know you're alive today, at least most of you are, because I see you and your function, you know, maybe fanning, whatever. Your body's alive or because you're in it and you're functioning. But I tell you this, if all of a sudden one have some kind of stroke or heart attack in here and leave the body, that body wouldn't be like it is now, right? So we understand. We're talking about something that brings life to us, ladies and gentlemen, not make us any deader than we were before we got saved. So I want you to notice this thing about transformation. This passage records one of the most powerful and amazing miracles ever performed by Jesus Christ with these 10 lepers and this one. When you look at this, the healing of the leper is one of the signs that Jesus mentioned that proved that he was the Messiah. He was the one that should come that the Jews were looking for. And during such miracles as this, we are allowed to see Jesus' compassion and his power on full display as he's doing something to an individual that had leprosy. That's a deadly disease. There was no cure much for it in that day. Not any at all that we found, unless there was a miracle like Jesus did, though it's a little different today. And so you and I may not have leprosy like this man had or these 10 lepers had, but we do have a problem with sin, and we do need the Savior's touch. And that's the reason it's compared for us to see in light. So I want to watch Jesus as he changes these poor men forever in their lives, and especially this one that approached Christ and what happened at that time. So the fourth point I want to give to you, the transformation of a life. First of all, I want you to look at the nature of all these men. Leprosy is known in our day as Hansen disease. Leprosy is a high infectious disease that was incurable in Bible times, but today we treat it so well, we don't hear much in our nation. We hear it in other nations, and sometimes I think someone said the other night that there'd been said that even now when you had leprosy, you had to go here, we'd have to get medicine. We don't even have medicine prepared for it right now like we should have, because we never had the problem here like was back in some other nation. Or if we did have it, they'd have to ship it to other nations to help people out. So I'm saying this affects the whole body. It begins with a fatigue and pain in the joints. It has to, the body will be covered with scaly spots, with pus filled, they call nodule, on the skin. And they also have these the face would alter in some degree. And it would become these nodules would come on the vocal cords in time where the person, the leper, would talk with a rasped voice. And eventually he'd lose his voice or she would lose their voice. And the body would start decomposing, causing a terrible stink, even though they hadn't died as of yet. Leprosy attacked the nervous system, numbed the body where there was no pain after a period of time. And when they had no pain, they said it's nothing unusual to see a leprosy for long periods of time be asleep, and rats and other vermin would come and chew on them while they're sleeping. They wouldn't feel pain. A leper generally lasts between 9 and 10 years. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a horrible disease. And God says it represents sin. By the way, sin is horrible too. Sin without the blood of Jesus Christ is sin one to have. Sin without the blood of Jesus Christ would cause the wrath of God. And he lays a parallel here for us to understand. We may not understand a lot about sin because we can justify ourselves, but we can understand about reading what leprosy is and wish we'd never have it. And God gave us a parallel of that to let us know what he says when he talks about sin. And he uses this, only Christ could touch him. A leper usually died a horrible death between around 9 to 10 years. According to Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, a leper had to stay clear of people. He had to stay within 50 feet of a clean person if he had leprosy. And if the wind was blowing, he was required to stay at 200 feet from that person. And when he walked anywhere and he saw someone coming, he had to put a cloth over his mouth and be sure that they knew that he was a leper. He'd cry, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, unclean." And he could be arrested if he didn't do that. Because it was a fearful disease at that time. And when they approached another person, a lot of times people were scared to death of a person like this because they really understood that this was a deadly disease. Number two, in the Bible, leprosy is far more than a disease, though. It's a type of sin. A leper was considered the external defilement of the disease, that one that was seen to represent the internal defilement in the heart. And God called it sin. Jesus called it sin. If you look in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 3, the priest would pronounce the leper unclean. Or the priest would go through a ceremony type way to prove that it was leprosy. And then if it was leprosy, he was declared to be a leper. And then if it gets clean, he had to go through a procedure that the priest could do where they could declare that the person was clean. Well, when Jesus came on the scene in Matthew 15 and 17 through 18 and 19, he said in talking that food that enters into the body doesn't defile the body. But what that's in the body that comes out through the mouth. He said food goes out to the ground, and therefore the body digested that which is good and disposed that which is bad. But he talks about from the heart comes evil. And therefore, as leper does things to individuals, you can see that sin does things to individuals, and therefore understand that sin is a terrible thing. It's a very dangerous thing, and sin will destroy a person in spite of what Satan may say in their lives. And so when I look, I began to grasp something here. Leprosy, what a picture of sin. Leprosy starts out small and then it spreads, Leviticus 13, 7. Sin generally starts out little, seem to be no harm. Mother and dad may say something about, because they're older and a teenager didn't listen. Or a mother and dad may have listened to somebody else when they got somewhere or another and suddenly it didn't seem all that harmful. By the way, sin never seems harmful until it's too late. Satan's a mastermind of using this thing. And therefore, leprosy defiles everything it touches. In Leviticus 13, 44 through 46, sin will destroy everything it touches in one's life unless there's atonement or the blood of Christ is applied to take care of that individual. Sin will destroy everything. Leprosy isolates them because this person was isolated from people in Leviticus 13, 46. Sin drives a wedge between families and friends. Think of the heartbreak that's coming to families because just sin. That's why we may call it everything else that the world calls it, it's behavior matter, but sin causes heartbreak, folks. Amen. And leprosy causes heartbreak too. And God says it this way. Everything that the leper touched was burned. Leprosy destined that everything has to go in the fire because you can't just, you have to destroy it before you can manage it. And so sin drives a wedge between families and friends. Everything that a leper touches is burned, so sin also destines those afflicted by it to the fires of eternal torment. In Psalms 9, verse 17, the psalmist said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." What I'm saying to you, in the Bible, leprosy is far more than a disease. It is also a type of sin. The sinner is not worthy to come to Jesus. But he will never turn away when you and I come to him. This man was not worthy to come to Jesus. By rights, he should not have been that close for Christ to touch him, because he had to stay at least 50 feet away unless the wind was blowing. And yet when he comes, he didn't touch Christ. He fell down to worship him, but Jesus was not afraid to touch him. Deity, you can't do anything with that. Sin don't affect deity. We're in the image of God. We don't have his deity. Only he has that deity. And when we get to heaven, we'll still be the image of God that God had glorified, but he'll still hold his deity. God the Son, the Father, and the Son, the Holy Ghost will always have their deity. We never accumulate that. That's God. But we have his image. What a wonderful thing. And so here, Jesus is not afraid to touch him. Wonder what those people around him said. Ooh, what's going to happen? He's not afraid. He knows what's coming, and therefore what he's got to do. And so I see the leper came to Christ the right way. He humbled himself. In Psalm 51, verse 17, he did exactly what God said he's looking for. In Mark 1:40, no, he said, the leper said, if thy will, thou can make me whole. He based his faith, and the basis of his faith was he acknowledged that Jesus, who he was, and his power, that he could heal him. In Luke 5:12, Luke said that he was full of leprosy. That means he didn't have a touch. He had just begun. It was eating him. Probably parts of his body was gone about how he lived in that tabernacle like he was. Many would say, I don't see how he's living. And, of course, Luke said he was full of leprosy. He was in need of a divine intervention, though, because here's the only thing that could help him in that day. Thank God in our day we have a medicine that can treat leprosy in early stages of it, but Jesus got a medicine treated at death door. Just a word. I'm so glad I understand a little more about him than when I got saved. I'm glad he makes himself real. We find that he was born in sin. So are we. He needed intervention. He needed divine intervention. We who are born in sin also need divine intervention too. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, with a humble spirit and a heart of faith, God will save our soul. No doubt about that. Romans 10:9-10 so easily puts it simple. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe in the heart we believe, and confession in the mouth salvation. 13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God has put it so simple, but to God it cost him his only begotten Son. So not only that, I see Jesus sees this poor man's condition, and he has compassion upon him. Compassion means a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another, one who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering of another. Both will be in shape, but one can help the other. And we're all in bad shape for sin until Jesus touches our heart with the precious blood of Christ. And so Jesus put forth his hand. And the Bible says in verse 41, he touched him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, I say to you, to touch a leper was forbidden. And those scribes and Pharisees looked for everything they could find about Jesus Christ. Maybe someone said, well, he's got it now. You touch him. You don't have to touch him. Just be around where they're breathing, you catch it. He's got it now. Aren't you glad, though? He can't get it. He can't get it. He's God in the flesh. His deity still never changed. He automatically agreed to come and be put in a body of flesh that he could show us. That flesh and all that came to him in the flesh, he could withstand and take our place on Calvary. Jesus, the cleanest man in the entire world, was not afraid to touch him. Deity cannot be defiled. That's the reason Satan will never have a chance to try to dethrone God. Deity can never be defiled. That's something God has that will stand throughout eternity, past, present, and the future. On the other hand, though, Jesus entered this world, in the leper's world, transmitted to him the cleansing power of his deity and the fact that he was able. Instantly, his leper departed. He showed the power of his deity, and his leper departed. His body was made whole, Mark 1:42. So Jesus came into this world, wait a minute, to die for our sins is a type of leprosy. It destroys us by sharing our pain, by suffering on Calvary, by going to the cross, by paying the sin debt for you and I. that we who deserve, God doesn't owe us any favor. I don't care if we did come from Adam. He still doesn't owe us any favor. And yet he loved us. He loved us. But just that's the song God led us more to sing. He knew us and he loved us. There are some people that I guarantee you say that it's hard to love sometimes because you know them. But I'm glad God's not that way. Because by rights, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't have to save any of us. We're all are descendants of Adam. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says it did. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He didn't have. You don't understand when you look at deity and who God is and where we're at and why he came this way. Listen, God had to come to us. We couldn't go to him. We could not muster our way to him. We could not have honest with him without him letting us know that. Instead of us, when we try to go to him, he came to us. Transformation of a life is so important. His leprosy left him quickly, the cleansing power. Instantly, his leper left, his body was made whole. Jesus came and he died. And Jesus sees this poor condition with compassion. By the way, folks, listen, let me tell you something. I don't know where you were at when you got saved. And I know where I was at when I first joined the church, but I know where I got saved. And I don't see how God let me live that long. But he showed compassion to me that day. And when you got saved, he showed compassion to you too. Thank God. This God who could have spat at us and said, "Depart from me, I never knew ye." And yet at the same time offers us compassion and shows us how that we could be born into the family of God. So Jesus healed him and sent him away to show himself to the priest in verse 44. This was kind of like to get a certificate of cleansing of the basis of ceremony for leprosy, Leviticus 14. If a man is saved, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that amazing? He had to go and get that certificate showing it, that wherever he went. Oh, that was a leper. I'm here. But wait a minute. The priest has declared me clean. We have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't you know Satan ever come around and said, even after we're saved, you know that fellow don't look too much like a Christian? Because Satan wouldn't know what a Christian looked like to start with. He's got fantasy of Christian, but God's got our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And he can show it there too, folks. By the way, if it's written there, he wrote it. We didn't. He wrote it. And I thank God to see that in this life. And so the priest was to go outside the camp where the leper was, and Jesus died outside the camp, Hebrews tells us. What a contrast to how modern faith healers would act today in this situation. Today, the faith healer would put up him on display for advertisement and go around the country declaring that he'd been healed through them. But Jesus needs no advertisement. Just the fact he does it would give him advertisement. He don't have to program it anywhere. In fact, in this case, he said, "Son, don't tell anybody about it." Faith healers today tell everybody about it. Why? There's something different between the two of them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, Jesus tried to avoid a circus-like atmosphere around his ministry. Jesus wanted people to follow him because of the message, not because of the miracles. Because the miracles can do. You remember what he said in John? He said, in John chapter 6, he said, "You came to me not because that you understood and wanted to hear what I said. You came because you got your stomach full when he fed them that bread and fishes." Now, thank God, I'm glad that he's able to supply our need. But I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, there's some things being preached today and leaving out Christ in the major issue, whereas they're bringing him in on the minor issue, which many times is so close to not being right that it's being right, they don't understand who he really is. You know, a lot of folks look today at Jesus as that one who catered our every need rather than being our Savior. They've been taught that. If you do certain things, unsaved, just, you know, you just do what the Bible says do. The first thing the Bible says to do to all unsaved people is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the first issue they have to do. And so here, when we could not get to God in heaven, Jesus came here. Jesus came down here where we're at so we could go where he's at. So there's only one element that can cleanse us from sin today as we look at this transformation of a life, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Note the ceremony that took place when the leper was clean. Leviticus 14. Go read that. The leper did not try to clean himself up. He had to do what the priest said do. And that's the same with us. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot cleanse ourselves up. What we do to start with, I told my dad first time I talked to him about being saved one time, he wanted to do this now. He said, I got to clean up a little bit. I said, what do you know? How do you know to clean up? What you going to clean up? Well, no. He couldn't even answer that. If I'm going to clean up, I better know what I got to clean up about. Because there's more to it than just two or three things, folks. It's a sin nature that God has to change completely. And so I think about the leper went out, and he told everybody but the priest in Mark 1:45. And it seems that he did that. And of course, I guess, understand this, I thought many times to the degree that he disobeyed the Lord. But when we get born again, we're told to go tell it. He gave us the Great Commission. He gave us the instruction to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. So may God give us discernment, spiritual discernment when it comes to what we say and do for the Lord. Proverbs 11, 25, verse 11. Solomon said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the picture of silver. In 1 Corinthians, if I may read to you real fast, like chapter 2, we've read it many times. Jesus said this in verse 11 down. He said, for what knoweth a man the thing of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we may know the things that are freely given to us to God. Aren't you glad to know that God loves us enough for what he does for us? We just have to give him glory for it. We need to tell about it. We need to testify about it. But at the same time, it's not in such a way to show that we're anything, but just simple believe God. Just simple believe him. And he goes on and said, what things shall we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches and compares spiritual things with spiritual things. Thank God we understand a little bit about when we're born again. So Jesus cares for us. And he always stands ready to help us in the time of need. I believe that. I believe that he hears our prayer, folks. And I believe there are some conditions sometimes. Keep in mind, man's teaching is behavior modification. All these groups and so forth is behavior modification. We set a standard behavior modification. And we try to tell a person, if you do this, this will help certain things in life. That's all we have. It's nothing we can do internally because we have not access in eternity. Only the Spirit of God has that access. Now, we can give words mentally, but that sometimes people go the way they want to go in. God, isn't it amazing? The most gracious thing we've got is a choice. God gives us the right to choose. You know that, ladies and gentlemen? Everything you face, you have a right to choose. He made us in his image so we could choose. He even tells us, I lay before you curse, I lay before blessing. Choose. It's not that he did it for us, but you choose. Here's the plate. You choose what you're going to do. Let me ask you a question. Isn't it an amazing thing when Christ was crucified? Judas ran and killed himself. Peter asked for forgiveness. Both of them were disciples. One chose to go one way, one chose to go the other way. Isn't it an amazing thing that we are making choices every day of our life, and that choice determines many things of outcome? No wonder God teaches us about believing him and doing what he says to do. Yet when God's word is taught, the heart is transformed by God's grace, Romans 12:2. In Titus, if you look in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, 14, this is what Paul said to Titus about this same thing. In chapter 2, and Titus 2, verse 11 through 14, Paul said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men. In other words, God's light has appeared to all men. That's why I go to John 3. What's that grace do? It teaches us that denying. Grace of God not only saves us, but it's saying grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, that's self-control, righteously, godly in this present world, and that world means age. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is he who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works? These things speak and exhort and so forth. Isn't it amazing? When God's word is taught, the heart is transformed by God's grace. And to those who believe and receive Jesus Christ as Savior, gets a transformation in life that will be seen by those in this world. You can't have something that great to come in without rejoicing, without somehow or another sharing it, what God can do. And God can use you to bless someone by telling what God's done for you as good as you can me or some great preacher somewhere or another. All we need is an audit from one. Some have audits from many. But we have the audit from one to tell sometimes someone what God can do and use the scripture to back it up. So to those who believe Jesus Christ, get that transformational light. And that would be seen in the world. So to be cleansed of leprosy is so great that the leper had to tell it here. And I believe with all my heart, to be cleansed from sin is so great, we have to tell it to you. I know God tells us to. He gives the Great Commission in Matthew 28, tells us in Acts 1 how we get the power of the Holy Spirit when he came. But he wants us to share our life at that situation. And I'm talking about this great transformation that takes place in our life. We're to tell it. To be cleansed from sin is so great that we must tell it. God gives us the instruction to do this in Matthew 18-20 and Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And keep in mind, by God's grace, we have a decision to trust Jesus as Savior when we hear the gospel. That decision power. Listen, when you heard the gospel, he didn't make any one of us trust him as Savior. When we heard it the second time, he didn't make us. He laid it on a platter. Someone preached it hard. God brought conviction. The Holy Spirit worked. And there came a time that we said, yes, Lord, I receive Christ as my Savior. And that's how we're saved. So God's grace, we made a decision to trust Christ as our Savior when we heard the gospel. But here in Titus, he says in verse 12, teaching that denying and godly works and worldly lust and those things, notice by God's grace, we also make a decision to serve him. Just getting saved by grace don't make me serve him. I had to make a decision with the facts and to trust Christ. But now that I'm saved, I have to make a decision when God lays out what service is. So I don't spend my wheels in sand and do nothing or do something that's wrong that maybe that I should. He lays out a pattern in this book that as I trust him and make a decision and ask Christ to come in my heart, then I have to listen to the word that the Holy Spirit brings now to serve him. And I certainly want to not strike on myself because I didn't know how to get saved. And if I tried, I'd done the wrong thing. I don't know how to serve him either. I'd probably do the wrong thing unless I trust him for service as much so as for salvation. And that's what the transformation life is. We are transformed inside where the world can see outside. And ladies and gentlemen, aren't you glad that so much we haven't learned and grown yet? If they know how much we need to grow, they'd understand. We don't have everything like we'll have when we get the glorified body. This body's a hindrance. I can be the best one day, and next day, my world power apart. And you, hey, listen, when things are well and going well, you think different than things are going bad. I'm telling you, folks, this world's wickedness will drain us, the things that happen. And so we have to realize I had to trust him for salvation, and I've got to trust him for service. And that means simply this, that I beseech you that you present your body as a living sacrifice, not a dead one. And he said, be not conformed. To show that in analysis, don't be conformed to the world, but be you transformed by renewing your mind. You can't renew your mind in Christ until you have him. So you have to set prerequisites. You're saved. You're born again. And now in Christ, I find myself not conforming to the world, though I got to have things in the world, but being transformed in your mind that we might prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. May God bless us as we look at this wonderful transformation of life. And he gives us a symbol that we could look at it in Christ's environment when he healed these lepers. Lepers are terrible sin. There's not much help for it unless God intervenes. And by the way, when it comes to sin, there's no help for it unless God intervenes. Stand to your feet. Father, thank you again for learning, Lord. Thank you for this book. Every time we open it, I pray that you draw us closer to you. Lord, our lives are not made up of just individual modifications and trying to do things different ways. Even sometimes that may help a person in the flesh to some degree, but what we need is divine intervention. We need a divine touch. God, in my mind, missing this message, I just sit and thought and tried to see when Christ approached this leper, or he approached Christ and fell down. And he said, I know you can clean me if you will. And Jesus touched him and said, I will be thy clean. God help us see. God help us see. There come a time we heard the gospel in the age of grace 2,000 years later. And Father, there's a time we heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit drew us. And we came our heart to an altar somehow or another. Maybe in a church, or maybe in a home, maybe in where it was at. Our heart bowed down it to an altar. And when we came to you, wherever that would be, we could make an altar anywhere. And we came to you. Jesus took our place. Father, out of compassion, hallelujah, you reached out and you touched us. The Holy Spirit drew us to the Lamb of God. Some of us said no a number of times or put it off or procrastinate. But thank God they came that day, that night, that time when we felt the compassion and love of God. And he reached out and touched us. We asked Christ to come into our heart. He brought us through the door. Heavenly Father, why has that not been taught today? Why is that not something other than God's a Santa Claus in the sky yonder trying to make us all rich? Or if I understand what you said here in Titus, there are some qualities come sometimes that charge God's people will suffer just because they name the name of Christ. Help us today to grow, not only numerically, but spiritually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.